AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio itself. And on the internet, you can check us out by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link from 11 to 12, or listen to our rebroadcasts anytime simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I first want to say that in the last few weeks, I've gone to a number of festivals. I enjoyed the company of thousands and thousands of people. We spoke about issues affecting America and American workers. And I'll tell you one thing, people are really into the new program of getting everyone employed. People are pleased to see that many of the people who have been on all sorts of welfare programs, unemployment and all, are getting back into the workforce. There's also a number of people who are still in the area where they're not being counted, because unemployment only counts those who are listed as looking for work in the last 6 months or year. But there are many people that have given up on the searching for a job. We see many of those people at the job fairs, and it's very unfortunate, but it has to be something positive happening. We are seeing it happen right now, and all I can do is urge you to go out and look for the American-made label. Shop at your local stores. Make sure you speak up where you shop, because America is looking what we are doing to help one another. I'd like to thank our panel members, Mark Andel, who is focused on what he is doing there to help his people in New York. He's the founder of the Made in America store. And man, Mark, a lot of people told me they've been to your store. They're really proud of what you do. Thank you for all you do, because without you, our effort would not have gone as well as it has. Also, my thanks to Larkin Conley, who is a national small business advocate, very well spoken, knows what he has on his mind and says it when it needs to be said. And Rich Loges, of course, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. He's a man with many opinions, too, and I enjoy that, and the people enjoy that. And people in my travels, I say that I'll let you, give me some suggestions. So send those suggestions to me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. I also want to thank our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, for all he does to get the program ready. Make sure that it's out this afternoon as a rebroadcast to our thousands and thousands of listeners, so they can listen if they weren't able to be with us between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. And I'm Michael Blihash, your host, always proud to be here with you as we get together for this particular hour of power each and every week. I also have greetings to all of you from Curtis Ellis, the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance. He will be with us in the next few weeks, and we'll wait to hear from him. He is running around working on the America First project. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we marked the 17th anniversary of September the 11th, when terrorist-directed airplanes to crash into the World Trade Centers in New York, killing thousands of Americans, as well as the airplanes that crashed in Pennsylvania and in Washington, D.C. We watched many reports in the news yesterday, and of course, since September the 11th, I would say that we saw the efforts of two presidents. They completed their term in office. That was President Bush and President Obama. And they both certainly did their very best to keep America safe. And we now have President Trump, and we have to give him the opportunity to keep America safe during these very changing times. When I look back 17 years, it's almost unbelievable to see how much America has changed. It really has changed. And many people are more cautious than they ever were. And of course, very, very much safety prone. Today, Americans want safety, but also, as I go around, they want stability and a lot more attention to the issue of jobs and for helping America's youth, middle-aged and older people, have a very good future here in the USA. Another very big subject that is addressed, probably Mark, you hear it as well, is the issue of education in America's schools. People are disappointed. And by the way, they tell me as their youngsters were going to school, they saw they were getting an education, and it was great education in most cases. But the situation is they were not being prepared to be any part of the workforce of today. So people are talking a lot about the education system, and that may have to be tackled on a national level. Maybe all of the House and Senate and the President are going to have to do something to put on some mandates where trades and resumes and futures are discussed beginning in the eighth grade. That's the formative years. Eighth grade through 12th grade, that's the adult formative years. And I really think it's time for a new day in America. First, I want to welcome Mark. How are you doing, Mark? And what's new with you?
Excellent, Mike. How are you? And I know the other guys are going to be on in a little while. Henry, welcome. Thanks for making us sound good, Henry. But, Mike, a lot going on. Like you said, yesterday was a big day. 17 years ago, 9/11, and everybody here at General Welding, whatever, we kind of talked about it a little bit, where we were. We all remember the moment. We went around our counter up here. We had a TV. And, you know, it's funny, my daughter, Mike's 15 years old, Jesse, and she wasn't born, you know, so you kind of explained a little bit to her. But, no, I got a flag of honor, and the flag's created for the names of those who perished that day, 9/11. And it lists all the names, and they made an American flag out of it. And that sits straight center of my office, Mike. So very touching day. I think a lot of people just remember that day. And like you said, all the people that worked to take care of them, issues and challenges since that day, especially our servicemen and women. Another reason why we stand, Mike.
Exactly. And as we stand getting ready for more and more changes in America, I think the flag is something that has to unite us. In fact, someone mentioned to me that about the flag and the standing and kneeling and everything else. And I said to them, I would like to see not only the national anthem sung at the games, but also the Pledge of Allegiance, because this is our home and this is who we pledge allegiance to. We all have ethnic heritage to celebrate with customs and holidays. But we live in America, and we have to be the best Americans that we can be.
And, Michael, like you, I see veterans every day. We're home base for Honor Flight. We honor our veterans. And a lot of people don't realize it's the 1% that gave us everything we have. And when we talk about standing, we don't mind people has issues and want to challenge and protest. That's all fine. But just to me, that flag stands for everything, the national anthem. It's everything. I think Tiger Woods did a good job in representing it. You know, where football's a game and whatnot. But and I just think we grew up that way, right, Mike? Just honor that flag. That's all we ask. And just especially, I deal with a lot with Walter Reed, or you see the people with no arms and legs, and Marcus Luttrell I met personally, lone survivor, and what these guys gave back to this country, all the heroes. It's just that flag to me is everything, and I think you agree with that, Mike, too.
Oh, 1,000%. Mark, we have so many things to be proud of in America. You know, we went through some very rocky times, but it was really not people like you and I in charge of the helm. It was people who looked specifically for greed, for their own pockets. Can you imagine in the United States of America that we would have 90% of certain products made overseas? That's almost unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
As people are going around the stores, they're starting to survey products that they need and products that they don't need. They're looking at labels. And when you run into some of these various big stores, sometimes the people walk down the aisle and say, can I help you? And I say, no, you I'm just looking to see where the items are made, and they just look at me like, ooh. But well, when you see our tools, everything that we have around us being foreign made, where did the national leadership, where was their brains? 9/11 sort of made us pause for a while, and everyone was patriotic there for a while. But just like everything else, like a news day, it's all, you know, at your attention for a while, and then news fades away. Good news, bad news. You know, today people said, oh, well, we'll see what happens by the 18th anniversary of 9/11. I mean, it's just, it's a passing. It was same thing during various wars. People would hear about soldiers being killed and all these tragedies happening. And their reaction was, oh, it was only 5 today or 20 today or whatever. And that is something that we can't.
Well, one is too many, Mike. And,
absolutely.
Know, I just came over from a bus literally 5 minutes ago, and it was Breakaway Tours. They're out of Pittsburgh, Mike. So I had a great bus, and I love the buses that visit the Made in America store. And, you know, I told a little speech, and we talked. A lot of these people have been there before, but we talk about exactly what you're just discussing. And I told them the skilled trade shortage, how busy we are as general welding. I've never been as busy in 10 years, and I love saying that because it's the truth. We've got plenty of work but can't find young people, or in the average age of the welders, 65 to 70, and it's just growing, and a lot are retiring. And, Mike, we talk about these things, but this busload was really loved what we were doing, of course. We tell a little bus story, and the bus driver reminded me he was our 600th bus 2 years ago, and I didn't know he had been here. And we're going to come up on our 800th bus, Mike, in 2 weeks to visit the Made in America stores. And these are tour buses full of great people. The average age is 50 to 95. But, you know, I tell them that half our flags are made overseas. They can't believe that. I said, can we at least agree that our flag should be made here? And, they, of course, they do. But we talk about getting the schools to change one size fits all. And get the metal shops, wood shops back into schools, but make it okay and lift that stigma that working with your hands is not good, you know, the one size fits all. And you know what? I mean, my welders that are welding, we're slowly finding people, but they're making good money, Mike. And that's what it's, we just got to continue to talk about it, continue to get the parents and guidance counselors in schools to get engaged in this. This really is like an industrial revolution, but we're very busy, and boy, can they make some good money, Mike. I can't say enough, but finding people, my number one problem, and you can't grow the economy. I can't grow general welding without human beings and personnel.
You know, you're right, Mark, and here is one of the biggest things. I'm very glad you brought that up because it brings back a conversation that I had during Labor Day weekend with a teacher who had been in the system for 28 years. And we spoke around the main stage at the festival, and he said to me, I agree with you guys that you're talking about getting the trades and all back in the schools. He says, but now that they've dismantled all those trades, they turned all those areas of the schools into, you know, new rooms and libraries and visual centers and all. And he said to me, can you imagine the cost it would take to redo all of that? And I said to him in just a very short sentence, I said, can you imagine the cost to America if we don't do it?
Right, right, Mike. You know, and I had, after today's bus, a gentleman was waiting to meet me, and I didn't know who he was. I said, I'll make some time. I want to make sure we make the show. I got to run across the street. But anyways, his name was Bill. He was from Rochester. So it's about probably a two-hour, not even a two-hour run, Mike. And this gentleman had worked at Kodak. He started his own business. He does home remodeling and whatnot. And he came right out, are you a Trumper? I said, well, you know, I'm not an R thing or D thing. This is a common sense thing. But all I'll tell you is I'm very, very busy. He said, well, I'm kind of proud of the man. Nobody's ever been beat up as much, but I see we're busy too again. And we had a lot of good conversation. I ended up giving him a movie. But this gentleman said, I worked for Kodak. He said, even the things going on in the government, I had top secret clearance. He said, you wouldn't know for Kodak, but making a lot of them copiers and whatnot for the government. He said, I couldn't take a phone in the room. He said, the way they're recording people and copying people, things that are done shouldn't even, it's not even allowed at top secret clearance, like in the White House and whatnot. So he brought a lot of things to the table. Great person, great American, really, really just was blown away by what we do, Mike.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Guess who is with us? Dr. Larkin Conley. How are you doing, Larkin?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, listeners. Mark, how are you? And Henry. I speak to you this morning from the corner of Wythe Avenue and 11th Street in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn, New York.
Very good. What's going on up there?
And I am saddened by the fact that as hard as I tried to come in and sit down in my chair this morning, I just couldn't make it work. So I might still go come in there on Friday and give a visual inspection and make sure that it's neat and clean and my microphone doesn't have any germs on it. But it's been a very interesting last 10 days for both my wife and I. On Thursday, we flew into Philadelphia and immediately were picked up and taken to Long Beach Island, New Jersey, where we went to the same house for the same weekend with the same eight other couples, and we've done this for 44 consecutive years.
Wow.
Wow, that's a great legacy.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And we spent this weekend talking about Trump, and we spent this weekend talking about how 44 years ago none of us had any children, and the police came by to ask us to, you know, cut down on the noise and don't leave empty liquor bottles on the curb and remember that the old people around them are trying to sleep, us are, we're trying to sleep. And this year the police stopped by with in the form of paramedics to make sure we were all still alive.
You haven't changed, Larkin.
taking pulses and just trying to make sure everybody was still, you know, on the right side of the grass. So it is an amazing story, and to just think year after year after year how things changed. And the group is primarily conservative. We have a liberal or two in the crowd. And we had great conversations about the presidency, the fact that I saw it in Long Beach Island, and I also saw it up here, that a man is running for president, and he's calling. He said, you need to elect me because Donald Trump is a thief and a bigot. And I thought, when has he been convicted of being a thief? And even the fact that you would call him a bigot is argumentable. I mean, this is so out of hand. It's not even funny. But I will say this, and I hope we spend a little time talking about it. It was declared by the Economic Council yesterday or the day before that the consumer confidence is at the highest level in the history of this United States.
Yeah, Larkin, we talked about that a bunch. You get that consumer confidence up, and you know, more money in their paycheck, and people start believing and trusting and feeling good. Wow, sky's the limit. Focus on that positive, right?
Absolutely.
That's an amazing. We all know that consumer confidence is what drives the markets. It's what drives manufacturing, import, export. It drives everything. Because when people have confidence in the economy, they're willing to spend, and when they're willing to spend, you have a healthy economy. So the fact that consumer confidence is at its highest level in the history of these United States, that is an enormous, enormous fact.
Now, Larkin, did you hear that on World News?
Amazing to me. And I heard the regular, oh, this is just an offshoot of what Obama started. And you got to be kidding me.
Where did you see that, Larkin, the consumer confidence report?
I read it on, I read a blog, an app called Smart News.
Oh, so.
S-M-A-R-T-N-E-W-S. It tries very hard to be nonpartisan, but sometimes it leans a little to the left.
But wouldn't that be nice to hear that on the national news? Because
oh,
I haven't.
No. Really? you're going to suggest that the national news would tell us that consumer confidence is at its highest level in the history of the country?
That'd be too positive.
If it was under Obama, then, you know, it'd be the headline. But I've only had a chance to see one network news program, and it certainly wasn't mentioned there.
You know, as we're talking about that, we've been saying so much about the trades in the schools and training programs, and believe it or not, we are seeing more training programs come about. The biggest thing that people are discussing, too, and these are business people, they're saying that every day new products are reinvented or improved, or totally new products come about every day. And for about 25 years, those products were invented in America and then subcontracted for production overseas. The big concern that these companies have now, Larkin, is they have these new products. They'd like to get them into production in the USA, but they don't have enough hands-on people ready to go to do it. Whether they're running a machine, robotics, whatever, they're not there up and ready to do it. So that is the biggest concern America is now up against.
I heard a very, very interesting interview this morning. The guy, I wish I could, I'll remember his name, Pant is his last name, P-A-N-T. And he was the chairman of the board, or the assistant chairman of the board, not chairman, but a CEO, of a company called Yum, Y-U-M. And my wife turned to me and said, I've never heard of Yum. And I said, well, it's located in Kentucky, and they own Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and about three others. It's an inordinately large operator of franchise stores. Well, this guy who was the CEO of Yum or assistant, whatever, left when Yum in America and their shareholders sold 16,000 restaurants, 12,000 restaurants to a newly formed corporation in China called Yum China.
Larkin.
And this guy went... Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought that Taco Bell and Pizza Hut and Kentucky Fried Chicken were all owned by Pepsi. No?
By Pepsi?
Yeah. I thought Pepsi owned all of that stuff. That's why when you go into one of those places, you can't get a Coke. It's always Mountain Dew and Pepsi in those places. I thought that, I don't know. I heard that somewhere.
Well, the chairman of the board, maybe they sold China off in the process of dismantling Yum. But I think Yum's still around. I'm pretty sure, but I'll do some instant fact-finding here while we're talking. But it was amazing what he said and how he talked about. I was amazed that he wasn't afraid to say things about China. Are they strict? Do they do this? Do they do that? How are the tariffs working? There are a lot of people in the United States that say we're picking a fight that we can't win. And they said tariff wars have been around forever. It was absolutely amazing to hear a corporate leader from China talking about the fact that he didn't think the relationship between the two countries. He said Mr. Trump has a tendency to, pull his pistol and fire at what he thinks is the right direction. He said the Chinese are more inclined to, by the time you open your eyes, you're surrounded by guns and not one's been fired yet. But, you know, they're a little bit more deliberate in what they do. But it was a great conversation, but what it proved to me is that, democracy may have a little bit more of a place around the world than we kind of think. I don't know, but it was a very interesting
conversation. Larkin, Henry, I just looked up Yum, and, Yum, it basically, based out of Louisville, Kentucky, has over 45,000 restaurants in 140 countries, but they do own KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. They're the global leaders in, chicken, pizza, Mexican-style food categories, but worldwide Yum brands. But so That is huge. Looking at 45,000 restaurants, Yum owns.
Right. Europe, you know, Africa, South Africa primarily, South America, you know, all over the world. But the China stores that they owned, and I say 12,000, might have been 1,200. It was a significant number of restaurants. And this guy was just so bright. I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Pant, P-A-N-T. And a very bright, bright guy. And he had such insight on not only political relationships, but also commercial relationships. But there was this bent to what he was saying that, you know, show me a healthy economy and I'll show you well-supported, happy or fulfilled government that works well. Show me an economy where the government's taking charge of everything and oil prices are through the ceiling and unemployment is real high and the economy isn't healthy, and I'll show you a place where you're about to have a revolution.
And I think we're in the midst of a revolution, Larkin. I really do. Because I've never seen and I never heard people talking in such a positive manner. And by the way, I don't, as I said before, it's not, you know, not my agenda to push President Trump or Obama or Bush. Every one of them had their opportunity to take a close look at what was happening right before their eyes. Every one of them.
There's no question. There's absolutely no question.
Yep.
And merely on the fact of the consumer confidence, you have to say that parts of what Trump does are successful. And he's not a politician, so he's not going to call in his staff and say, if I say this, how many Republicans will get mad and how many Democrats will get mad? And he doesn't do that. He sits there and feels just, you know, let me put it to you this way. And it really, really kind of, while I laughed at first, it kind of made me mad. My wife and I walked through Brooklyn yesterday afternoon in a brief period that we had from one thing to do to go and meet my son. And there were stencils on the ground that said, stop and relieve your dog here. And there was a stenciled picture of Trump. And, you know, he's obviously not very popular in his own declared hometown. And then I got to thinking, wait a second. If you put the entire caucus of the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., in the room. Now, this nearly knocked me over. If you put the entire Democratic caucus, Senate and, of course, the Senate's so even, it's not funny. I mean, every state has two. But the entire Democratic caucus of Congress in one room, and you asked everybody who was a member, an elected member of Congress on the Democratic side who was from California and New York, 38% of the congressmen would get up and walk out of the room. The Democratic Party is made up almost 10%, short of 50% of people from New York and California. That to me is amazing.
Is that right? Interesting.
You know, like with the economy and Larkin, with the economy doing so well, and you know, you got more people working than collecting. You know, like my payroll, I've got 90 people. My payroll's over 60,000. But I was doing the payroll this morning, and the taxes that comes out of my payroll alone, you know, 20,000 a week, that is what you want. That is going into the government, the economy, the taxes, the state, the local, but not collecting. We're not coming up with it. We're, you know, people are putting into it. So growing this economy, the consumer confidence up, more people making more money is just beautiful, right, Mike?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Larkin, the thing that I find amazing when I go to the various events, people say to me, oh, I thought things would change so fast. Nothing's really happening at the pace I thought it would. I didn't vote for Trump, but, you know, I thought it would happen overnight. I said, nothing happens overnight. It took 30 years to do this, where it's going to take 30 years to rebuild it. The thing that has to happen is the next president and the next president and the next president after that all have to be of the same mindset to bring America back into the place where things are invented, where things are produced, and we are the greatest economy in the world. Oh, people don't want to hear that. They don't understand that. And by the way, those people are listening too much to television. You know what I did in the last couple of weeks? I stopped watching a lot of these news programs.
So did I, Mike.
I stopped watching because it's the same stuff from the 5 seconds they begin. They announce such negativity. We're still talking about the dossier. We're still talking about that. Eating themselves alive over what? I'm concerned about American workers. I'm concerned about being at that job fair and seeing so many people with beautiful resumes, but no qualifications to go into the 6 million job openings that America's businesses have.
But Mike,
right
Larkin,
now,
I've been in survival mode so long from 2010, 14, 15 were okay, 16 a terrible year. And then now to be busy and talking about, we've got different stresses, but yeah, we're busy because we can't find workers and equipment's breaking down. We're growing pains, but it's so much better than their survival mode. What are we going to cut? What are we going to save? How are we going to survive? Now you get work back, and people don't realize you need work. You need jobs. You need to be building things in your own country. And that's why Made in America matters. All the listeners out there, thank you for listening, number one. Number two, go out and look at what you're buying. Buy Made in America products. Support these local people, artisans, everybody that makes anything in our own local areas or in the country. It just produces positive results.
You're right. And, you know, Mark, we had a theme last year that we should feature on jobs. Look at the labels and the packaging to make sure that the companies know how important that is. I think it's our next year theme should be focused somewhere around let's retool America and America schools so that they have the graduates that companies in America need for every level from A to Z, nothing left out in between. And let's get that started from the 7th and 8th grade. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome Rich Logis to the show. Rich, how are you doing, guy?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning. And I've been listening since the beginning. I had to finish another RJL-related webinar, which was another snooze fest. And I got to, Larkin, you know, I know you don't need me to tell you this, but where you are in Brooklyn, the people there think Karl Marx was a right-wing constitutional conservative. So you're definitely in enemy territory there where you are, but enjoy your time in Brooklyn. Yeah. And, you know, I just a couple of points, Michael, listening to you guys is that I'm reminded, Larkin, of when the famous moment when President Reagan said then candidate Reagan said to President Carter, there you go again. And, you know, Michael, the Democrats just haven't learned their lesson from 2016 because the playbook that was run in 2016 was Hillary Clinton, despite decades of being in the public, in government, et cetera. I mean, do you guys, maybe Mark, you remember this. What exactly, when Hillary Clinton was campaigning, what was the record she ran on? I mean, what was it that she touted as achievements? There wasn't really a record to run. So because there wasn't a record, there was an attempt to run out the clock and just try to make everybody fear and loathe and hate the other guy.
Right.
And it's the exact same thing, Michael. You know, there they go again. I mean, and you can find it in anywhere throughout the country right now. The most recent example being the Supreme Court hearings last week. I mean, I have to tell you, it was you want to talk about, I listen to these Democrats talk about being embarrassed by Trump. I want to tell you, I was embarrassed, Larkin, last week by the Democrats on that panel. I truly was. My political differences aside, that was a damn shame and embarrassment what happened at those hearings. Truly was. And now, Michael, I can't believe I'm saying it, but, you know, because I got to give credit where it's due. I have this new bromance with Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, because he gets in the hearing and says, you want to pick judges, win elections. Did you guys hear him say that?
Actually what he said, Rich, was, and I said it to one of my Democratic friends at the beach this weekend, because he started to complain about a conservative court, and I said, Paul, listen to me very carefully. If you want to appoint judges, win an election. That's the privilege. Your man, Obama's the one that told me elections have consequences. You want to appoint judges, win elections.
Right. I guess they only have consequences when they win. And when they lose, everybody's going to die. Mark, have you heard? Mark, did you know that you're going to die when Brett Kavanaugh becomes a justice? Are you aware of that?
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I heard all that, Rich, and I was in disbelief. I was in total disbelief. And someone attacked the other day and said something so foolish. They said, well, I can do anything I choose with reproductive rights because it's a constitutional right. And I said back to them, I said, is it written in the Constitution that you can abort a child? Is that written in the Constitution? Well, yes, it is. And I said, I think you better read the Constitution. And that's good advice to everybody. Please read the Constitution. And I believe our forefathers were visionaries. They saw good things. They saw the aggravation they've had with fighting to get rid of the crown ruling them. And they wrote a document that still cannot be disputed today. It's really good. Yeah. Well done.
I just think
they even made a provision for correcting it when they missed the point.
That's right.
It's incredible.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
You know, go ahead, Rich. You wanted to say something and remind me about all these people talking about what they did during the election. First, before I go to Richard, I want to just say this. Please register to vote. There are many ways to register to vote within your individual states. All you have to do is go to your state website. A lot of it's being done online now. Register. Many of the states have to have you registered by October the 3rd. Some will make it a little later than that, but do register to vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'm just going to tell you, be there to vote, to make sure that the full the people in America, the full amount of people that are concerned about America are out there voting. And after that vote, we will see what will happen in the future. But do vote, do register, put it down on your list of things to do, and do it today. Next week, I will have a special link up on the site telling you how you can register and ways for you to go to the various sites. In fact, I'll try to do it after today's program to make sure it's the right site. Once before, there was a site that was collecting your information before they sent it to the registration office. Now, that's no longer allowed, so we'll put you up the best qualified sites. But the best site for you to look at is the site in your particular state. Okay, Rich.
Michael, thank you.
If I can suggest to you, Michael, might be interesting to put them all up. You know, we have listeners all over. I don't know that you can put all 50 up, but you can certainly.
Well, this one, Larkin, what this one was doing was asking you to put in your zip code. That immediately then directed it to the state you were in, and then that particular registration form came up. That is what we really need, because today with the hustle and bustle in the fast-moving world, sometimes it's really hard to focus on something, and you got to do this. You got to pick up the kids, help mom, dad, go, you know, to work. There's a lot of things going on that you don't have a chance to focus on. If you're able to do it online, it's going to make it much easier. And it'll also take away the excuse that people have, oh, I didn't have the time to register, if they would only make it more convenient. Well, it's becoming more convenient.
One of the arguments from the same liberal was, we make it too hard to register and we make it too hard to vote. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. That is the lamest argument. That's almost as lame as the argument that Hillary Clinton was the most qualified person to run for president in this century. You know, well, it's only 18 years, but whatever. But and they said that continually, and Hillary Clinton couldn't beat Donald Trump, who had no political experience whatsoever. Now we say the same thing about Brett Kavanaugh. He's the most qualified person to be put on the Supreme Court in decades. And now all of a sudden, that's a goofy argument, saying he's most qualified.
You know,
by the way, I've got to tell Rich, you are so spot on with Lindsey Graham. It's not funny. This liberal guy, Paul again, I'm going to name him, said to me, now what are you going to do? You don't have a McCain. I said, no, we don't have a McCain, but we have a Lindsey Graham.
Wow. It's my new bromance. Nope. And look, I've criticized Graham. And now he's my new bro. He's my new bro. I sent him a message saying, I sent to his office. You know, I told him I live in Florida. Thank you so much, because when you win, Michael, elections are not for show. They're not for pomp and circumstance. They're to advance legislative agendas or to conserve what we want to conserve and keep in place. And economically, and actually not just economically, Michael, for all decisions in our lives, human beings make their decisions and base them in one of two emotions, fear or greed. And if you look at economically from 2008 to 2016, and when I say greed, I'm not talking about Michael Douglas from Wall Street. I'm talking about growth, right? Having an eye on growth, building. Like a Mark Andel, right? Starting with a few products gets to thousands. One location gets to many. We had more fear than greed, and when there's more fear, there's more hesitancy. There are more reservations. Now we're the opposite. Now we've got a kind of greed mentality where the markets have opened up. We're spending billions of dollars less in government regulation, which has directly and positively impacted a person like Mark.
Yes.
So now there's greed, not greed like screw people over greed. I'm talking about an eye on expanding. And you guys know Mark, and you know that as well as anyone here because of all the work you've done. So we've gone from fear to greed, Michael. That's how we make our decisions. That's why small businesses feel better today than probably any time that they have ever owned their business, irrespective of how long they've owned it. What's happening right now? What is happening now, Michael, is real. It's not on paper. It's not fluff. It's not hot air. It is actual true economic growth. And it's funny to listen to President Obama, who tells us the sky is falling, but the economic growth was all his. Of course.
Yeah, right.
Of course, right? I mean, obviously, that was not, you know. I'm not saying that it was all bad under Obama. And I have said before on the show, Michael, that all the debt we accumulated wasn't just Obama. We had a Republican Congress for 6 of those 8 years that wanted to spend money also.
Absolutely. You know,
but economically, this is real what's happening right now. And now the pressure's on the presidency, where sometimes you're kind of a victim of your own success. Now the expectation's high, and there's going to be a lot of work needed now to keep this going.
You know, one of the things I don't understand is why we have to have this major division between Democrats, Republicans, independents. It doesn't make sense. Aren't we all Americans? Aren't they supposed to all be working for our benefit? If the Republicans are in charge and they're doing something with the economy, doing something with tax reductions, I think the people on the Democratic side and the independents should be speaking up and saying, here's how we would make it even better. But instead, they're knocking everything down, and it's impossible for these people to sound sensible to me. Because if something good is happening, if you have a smile on your face, why do you want to have a frown? That's what they're making me frown upon their efforts. They're not telling me anything positive. They should be saying, well, Trump did this, and it's working. To make it better, we should even be doing this.
You want to focus one team, one goal, one country, one goal, and keep this rolling. And like you said, Mike, it's got so, you know, negative and so defensive, and that's all you see, and especially with the election coming up this fall, that's all you see. And it's sad, because if you can't come together as a team and agree that both sides' weaknesses and positives, you can't grow it.
You know,
they just continually talk about things that don't matter.
Right. It's a waste of time. That's why, you know, Larkin, I feel better not watching a lot of these shows now, to be quite honest.
Well, I'm gonna try. You know, I'm a news junkie. I'm a a educated journalist. I mean, that's my degree from college. But I'm gonna try it. I really am, because you know, it's like you said, and Rich, correct me if you heard, but I don't know of any national news agency that reported the findings that consumer confidence is at its highest level now than it's ever been in the history of this country. And I don't know that that was reported.
And that's very positive, because, Larkin, let me say,
huge.
The last time that report was supposed to have been presented was when America had 100 million people less. So that means we have more people, more jobs, more possibilities. Consumer confidence is good, even with 100 million more people gathered over the last 18 years.
Good point, Mike. Incredible.
You see what I'm saying? And the thing also that people don't understand is we're inventing brand new products every day. Those products should be made in America first. And of course, if other countries want to make them for their own markets, God bless you. But if it's made in America, all the technology and all, why are we selling that to foreign countries? I don't understand it. Why are we making deals? Why have we been making deals? It's not been happening that often now. Why did we make deals for 8 and 10 years that product would be made in China, Vietnam, or anywhere else? Why? How about making an 8-10 year deal that it's invented in America, it's made in America?
It's all about the dollar, Mike. That's why I'm slave to the shareholder. All publicly traded stock, and you know, you gotta support the country you live in. And me and Rich years ago, we used to go back and forth with that. But you gotta have some patriotic value and realize that money has to stay 50-50 fair trade, Mike, is what we're pushing.
And right? You know, I agree with a lot of the people who tell me that I look at the products, and if it's not American made, I just don't bother it. I say, do I really need it? Now, here's also another thing that I'm often told by people is they'll say, I went to the store, the name brand product is made in China, but the off-brand product is made in America. So I said, what did you do? And they said, I bought the off-brand because I thought, how much different could it be? How much different could it be? If it's made in America, that means it went through the same regulatory commissions and all to be put on the market as the one that's been made in America, shipped over to China to be produced, and then resent back to America for sale. Yeah. We got to stop all this nonsense. And believe it or not, the thing I said 19 years ago, we have to keep no less than 50-50 of the products we make in America, made in America. It seems like today it's the thing to do, people are saying.
And Mike,
it's a new reality. We have to obey that.
I just got stopped, guys, by a guy yesterday that said, boy, you know, your prices are lower than most. The kidder, you know, litter box I bought, the dog food and the shirt and the wigwams. I said, yeah, it's funny because it was always that Made in America products were more expensive. You can't buy them. Well, it's just simply not true. There might be different profit margins, but our pricing is so now – because of our volumes went up, we're right in the norm, Mike, with pricing, and a lot of people got to know that. Why not buy a top-quality made-in-America product that's even cheaper than maybe your foreign product? Because they don't share the profit margin with us. They're marking that $2 shirt up or, you know, $3 shirt up to $25 still. So it's really neat to find out over through the years. Like I said, you got to educate, raise awareness, be consistent with your message. But as people find out, they're realizing you can buy made-in-America products at a competitive price, and they are better quality.
You know, you're right, and I want to say this to you and Rich and Larkin. I know this is something that people are doing because they're telling me one after the next, America's consumers don't want to be the major sales point for foreign made stuff anymore. By the way, that is a bad example that your child has to go to school. His pants are made outside of America. His book bag is made outside of America. All the school supplies were made outside of America. That's a bad example, because if the kid stops to look at just the labels, say, what is produced in the country where I live? So the people want, and they don't understand why 90% of all those foreign products cannot be restored in America. My thinking is they can. It's going to take time. It's going to get us retooling our people. Retooling is the word. Retooling our schools, retooling the people, retooling the mentality of the people who just, oh, it's just one of those things, the global economy. Richard, you've seen it for years.
If I can interrupt a second, three of the many people that were at this weekend retreat that I was on, who I've known for 40, 45, 48 years, three of them were educators. So we had a lengthy discussion about that mixture that we came up of the British and the American system, where guidance counselors are inordinately important, and they sit down with parents and students at the end of their sophomore year and decide whether they need to stay in the classroom and go on to the University of Pennsylvania for $60,000 a year, $160,000 a year, or whether they need to become apprentices and learn a trade, something that they truly, truly, truly want to do. And these three educators, one was a school board president. He ran one of the counties out on the main line. And he said, well, that's a wonderful idea. Whatever idea you come up with, it's got to change, because education in this country is in trouble, big time.
Yep, it is. It certainly is. And, you know, people now, those that are paying for those huge tuition payments, and some of the people tell me they'll be paying their college off till they're 46 years old. I mean, it's unbelievable. But they were told that they have to go to college, they have to do this, they have to become this, and now they're stuck with the bill and very little employment opportunities, certainly not opportunities that were needed them to go to college. It's just unbelievable. In the process of trying to make our young people go up with education, we took their ability to be part of really the workforce of America. That's the bottom line. Now you can go to these job fairs, and you see now people at the job fair offering young people to go to skilled worker programs where they can learn the skills they could have learned in high school.
And if you walk the streets of Brooklyn or any one of the five boroughs, you very rapidly learn that small business outnumbers big business, certainly in the five boroughs of New York, but in most all of America, at least 10 to 1.
Absolutely. It's what, Larkin, it's what's available in those stores, where those stores are getting those supplies from for those people to purchase. There's no reason whatsoever that 50% of those products should not be made in America. No excuse whatsoever.
Went into at least three shops, maybe four. I'm looking for a pair of slacks for my wife because she diligently dry cleaned the ones that she wanted to wear last night to my son's restaurant, and you know, promptly left them on a hanger in our bedroom. So we had to find a pair of pants. And the number of stores that we went into where the clothing shown was actually made in the store by the staff.
Nice.
It's amazing.
It's nice.
A new kind of cottage industry where the girl's name goes, the designing goes on the label. I walk through Brooklyn, besides the fact that I'm probably the only Republican within 17 blocks, is heartwarming, because this cottage, these types of cottage industries exist. They truly do.
You know, I learned one thing about this last presidential election. People tell me that they want to see long presidential elections. They want to see lots of debates. They want to hear what the candidates are going to offer the people if they are elected. You know, there for many, many years, the candidates waited till after Labor Day to get out on the stump and do their things, and the ads were on television. The past presidential election changed all of that, and it really sparked the interest of people. And now people want to hear. Now, what President Trump said during his campaign Most people thought that a lot of it was talk and it would never come about. Today we're seeing that he pushed those issues so hard that they have come about, and people are in amazement. That means that the next president and the president after that is going to have to produce the same way that President Trump did during his campaign for the presidency.
So one of the things we have talked about, and Lindsey Graham brought up in an interview some time ago, and correct me, Rich, if I get this wrong, he wanted, you know, reform to him was the federal government. If you run and legally get nominated, or you run and you legally are qualified to run in a primary, then the government gives you X number of dollars, like $25,000. And you get elected. Your partner can't spend more than $25,000, can't put his money in, can't run it up, can't say, okay, I'm a billionaire and you're not, so I'm going to spend $4 billion. It's not allowed. They're very heavily going to regulate. And do you know who the biggest complainer was? Network television.
Well, they're the ones who would receive some benefit from the advertising.
No, they would not receive that benefit.
In the old days, the way it was.
Right.
The old days, they would receive. Now, with this type of a plan, they'd be getting fish cakes, and that's not what they want.
Exactly right.
Money speaks. Money talks. Everybody else go to the back of the line and hope you'll be able to get to the front of the line at some point. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it is time. This was a very good broadcast, and I want to tell you, Larkin, Rich, Mark, Henry, I do a lot of going out into the people in our tri-state area events. I'm really pleased, and I can't thank people enough for stopping me in my travels to let me know that they tune in. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you the very best. Kindly remain patriotic, because America needs us. Mark, my best wishes to you. Larkin, the very best. And Rich, thanks for being with us. Have a great one.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Stay fired up.
Have a great week, everybody. For an old church steeple, where inside you'll find people who live their lives unashamed and ain't afraid to say God's name out loud. Yeah.